From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from the Epistle of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 9. Avoid foolish questions. Our days are few, and are far better spent in doing good than in disputing over matters which are at best of minor importance. The old schoolmen did a world of mischief by their incessant discussion of subjects of no practical importance. And our churches suffer much from petty wars over abstruse points and unimportant questions. After everything has been said that can be said, neither party is any the wiser, and therefore the discussion no more promotes knowledge than love, and it is foolish to sow in so barren a field. Questions upon points wherein Scripture is silent, upon mysteries which belong to God alone, upon prophecies of doubtful interpretation, and upon mere modes of observing human ceremonials, are all foolish, and wise men avoid them. Our business is neither to ask nor answer foolish questions, but to avoid them altogether. And if we observe the Apostle's precept to be careful to maintain good works, we shall find ourselves far too much occupied with profitable business to take much interest in unworthy, contentious, and needless strivings. There are, however, some questions which are the reverse of foolish, which we must not avoid, but fairly and honestly meet, such as these. Do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I renewed in the spirit of my mind? Am I walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? Am I growing in grace? Does my conversation adorn the doctrine of God, my Savior? Am I looking for the coming of the Lord, and watching as a servant should do who expects his master? What more can I do for Jesus? Such inquiries as these urgently demand our attention. And if we have been at all given to caviling, let us now turn our critical abilities to a service so much more profitable. Let us be peacemakers, and endeavor to lead others both by our precept and example to avoid foolish questions.
For my sin he was wounded, for my guilt crucified, for my debt paid a ransom, for my straying he died, for my acts of rebellion, for my deeds full.
Thank you.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In this series on the Law of God, Dr. Cairns is dealing with each of the Ten Commandments in individual messages. Today, he continues a treatment of the Fifth Commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother. In considering the duties of children toward their parents, Dr. Cairns has shown that the Bible commands little ones to be subject to parental authority. Of course, parents must not order their children to go contrary to God's clear word. The rule is to obey as far as is consistent with God's will. Parents are expected to exercise godly wisdom in directing their children, with a view to leading them to maturity in handling the affairs of life. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
No man or woman on God's earth has the right to command anyone flagrantly to disobey the moral law of God. However, let's be honest. In the setting in which we are here, that situation does not arise. And when you young people are kicking over the traces and finding yourself at variance with your parents, it's not because your parents have commanded that which is contrary to the moral law of God, but they have commanded something that is contrary to your own selfish interests. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ is clear. You must obey as far as is consonant with obeying God. And in those cases where disobedience to parents or to any other legitimate authority is necessary to obey the Lord, we have got to recognize what we see in the Savior, that we cannot always please our parents, but we can always honor them. The Lord Jesus evidently hadn't pleased Mary when he remained in Jerusalem, but he certainly honored her. Of course, his parents were honorable people. And wise parents will always seek to be the kind of people that are worthy of respect and worthy of honor. I think that it's very foolish for parents simply to sit back on their parenthood and say, I am your parent, I command your respect. You can never simply, now God can, but you can never simply command respect. You can command obedience. You can force submission. But it is a foolish man or woman that simply sits on his or her dignity saying, I am a parent, therefore you will respect me. A wise parent will always seek to be the kind of person who engenders that loving respect, who will prove himself to be worthy of it. Such parents will remember that their authority is derived from the Lord. They will not therefore be petty tyrants imposing their own carnal will just for the sake of showing who's the boss. They will not use their authority to drive their children from the Lord. Let me repeat that. A wise parent will never use his authority to drive his child from the Lord or to provoke him to wrath or to discourage him in the things of God. A wise parent will see as children approach adulthood that they need to begin to transfer more and more personal responsibility to them. A wise parent will realize, what am I about here? I'm about child rearing, child training. What is the end of that? It is an adult who can function as a discerning, thinking, Bible-knowing Christian, and who can put his faith into operation in the great decisions of life. It's a great temptation for a parent always to be there with the hands out ready to catch as soon as the child or the young man or the young woman stumbles or falls. Of course, we can never take their fall in any way lightly. But wise parents will recognize that they've got to rear people who can stand on their own feet in this world, make the decisions that are right before God. Wise parents will distinguish between moral absolutes and their personal preferences. I've seen more homes with conflict riven by division because parents have taken their own personal preferences that have nothing more substantial to them than this is the way I would prefer it, and they make that into a moral absolute as if God had commanded it. I never think that that's wise. I think it comes to a great deal of manipulation. Wise parents will be careful not to make every little failure into a momentous spiritual problem. Let me tell you what I mean. And I don't mean this to be taken critically. We have had many years of experience of the teaching staff and the methods of Bob Jones Elementary School, Junior High School, and High School. And I have to say that those teachers showed a great deal of devotion to duty, beyond the call of duty indeed, and I wonder sometimes how they could stick it, especially with junior high and high school kids that would drive you out of your head. But I remember once we got a letter from BJ, I forget whether it was junior high or grade school or whatever it was, and we got this letter. And, of course, those of you who know my beloved wife will know that she never worries about anything. We kid Joan and Mike Barrett and say, well, they never married because they'd have ended up living their lives, biting their nails, sitting in a corner, worrying about those two spiders going up the wall. Will one of them break a leg? And leave all these little spiders with a father incapable of providing and all that. So, we got this letter. My, this was serious. This was serious. I mean, if my parents had got a letter like this from our school back in Northern Ireland, it would have been one day away from being kicked out of the school in total disgrace. And when we talked to Frank, of course, we didn't know anything. He didn't know anything. Of course, he never did know anything of that nature. So I went up to see the then principal. It was junior high or high, because now I remember the principal. I went up to see the then principal, and they looked at me and said, oh, there's nothing to worry about. And I looked at the letter. I looked at him. Oh, there's nothing to worry about. Turned out it was true. It was a huge, huge crime, like chewing gum on campus or something like that. I think it was actually chewing gum. What was it? John doesn't know. It was something small. He said, no, we don't worry about that. But our policy is to treat molehills like mountains so that they never become mountains. And I looked at him, and I said, well, it's not the way we do it. And I have to say, I think that is the craziest thing to do, especially in a home. And if you parents treat your children like that, you will destroy any sense of moral accountability and any sense of discernment between what is important and what is not important. If every molehill is a mountain, what on earth are you going to do when there is a mountain? How are you going to describe it? If you've already exhausted the vocabulary of moral absolutism over things that are inconsequential, what are you going to do when you have something, substance to deal with? wise parents to not make every little failure into a momentous spiritual problem. Wise parents, why they will not make their authority a matter of negotiation, will still be ready to talk and ready to explain. Remember what we saw last week. Their major function is the teaching function. And of course, they will always seek to be reasonable. They will not seek simply to manipulate. There's one thing that will wreck a home and a family. It is a father or a mother who simply wants to manipulate. I have seen grown people who have been scarred for life because parents were so manipulative. They could put them on a guilt trip. They knew exactly which button to push to keep them constantly dangling in guilt before them, afraid to live. Emotional basket cases. It's a terrible weight of responsibility for a parent to take upon himself. Wise parents will not do that. They will always seek to be good representatives of the Lord Himself before their children. And especially they will act together. When the Bible says honor, it says honor thy father and thy mother. In another place it puts the mother before the father. There is an equality here of honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. And if children should honor both father and mother, then obviously father and mother should never put those children in a place where in order to honor one, they must despise the other. They must act together. Now it would be wonderful to say that wise parents will never have to endure rebellious children. Unhappily, we can't say that. Sometimes their very wisdom arouses in those children anger and rebellion. But they must remain faithful to their calling. And every child and every young person should respect such parents. Let me speak to those young people here tonight. Your parents are not perfect. But God has given you parents who have sought to instruct you in the things of God, provide you with a home that is a godly home, a Christ-centered home, a Bible-based home. They have sought to provide for you not only physically, but mentally, morally, and spiritually. They've had to discipline you. Sometimes that's not something that you like. God says you have parents to respect, to honor, to obey, to submit to. You should do that, even in the most challenging situations. Let me be very practical here. Parents set the rules of the house. They set the rules. The times you may go out, for how long, the time you come in is set by your parents, not by you. And when they set it, you obey it. The company you keep, the places you go, the public testimony you establish by those actions, they are certainly rightly under the control of your parents. You bet. That's the Bible.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.